Well, what is up, Northridge Church? Welcome home and welcome to the family. Thanks for joining us. No matter where you're joining us from, whether you're watching or you're listening, we are grateful that you are here. And come on, it's Father's Day. Let's give it up for our dads. Come on. Woo! Yeah, dads, I hope you feel honored today. I hope you feel special. I also hope you know how critical of a role you play in the family. And so to all of our dads today, happy Father's Day. And speaking of Father's Day, for the last couple weeks, we've been in this series called Because I Said So. And in this series, we've been just talking about how we as a family can shape the next generation, how we raise our children in this parenting series. And so we're going to continue to press in on this topic. And so if you got your Bibles, I'd encourage you to go to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12 is where we're going to kind of plant ourselves this morning. I'd encourage you to take the Northridge Church app. You can open it up and you can take notes along with today's talk. And as we kind of approach today's topic, right, this might be one of the most controversial and hardest topics when it comes to parenting, grandparenting. Right, it's a topic that can cause a lot of anxiety and stress in a home. It's a topic that we want to know a lot about, gain a lot of insight and information on. It's the topic of discipline in the home. And so the way we're going to address this morning is really just by talking about some of the questions we have around this topic. And I think the first one is just simple. Should I discipline my children? What does the Bible have to say about this topic? And that's where we pick up Hebrews chapter 12. And what's interesting about Hebrews chapter 12 is whether you're a parent or not, this passage talks about God as our heavenly Father and how he treats us as his children. And so on Father's Day, we're going to look to our heavenly Father and see how he parents his children. And out of that, we can gain insight. And so you can grow in your relationship with God today, whether you are a parent or not, based off of what it says in Hebrews chapter 12. Let's pick it up, verse 7. The heading says, God disciplines his children. It says, endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as his children. For what children are not disciplined by their father? Now, just to bring a little bit of clarity here, it's not saying in this passage that only fathers should discipline. It's talking from the perspective of God as our heavenly Father. And so really, as parents, it reads, for what parents aren't going to discipline their children? Proverbs 13 says this, it says, whoever spares the rod hates, it's a pretty strong word, hates their children. But the one who loves, the opposite of hate, loves their children, is careful to discipline them. Proverbs 29, it says, discipline your children and they will give you peace. They will bring you the delights you desire. And so I think it's safe to assume, based off just three verses and really the whole gamut of the Bible, that the Bible teaches the value and the importance of discipline in our homes. Right? It's a value to God's word. And here's the truth. If you're here today and you're like, I don't know if I should discipline my kids, I promise you, everybody else around you wishes you would. And so what is discipline? If we should do it, if the Bible teaches that we should, what is it? And I think when it comes to discipline, we probably all have similar yet differing definitions. And so let me give you one. Discipline is the teaching and training of your child's heart through consequences. Right? It is us as grandparents and parents and aunts and uncles help shape and mold our children. And we're not after behavior, right? We're not correcting behavior because behavior is a symptom. The heart is the source. And so we're trying to train and mold hearts through consequences or through pain. In fact, look what Hebrews 12 says about this. It says, no discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. And that's what makes discipline so hard. As a parent, I've got 4 children. And I'll be honest, as a dad, one of the worst things for me is to see my kids hurt. It's hard to see my children cry. And it's even worse knowing that I might be the cause of that. And I think parents get this, right? No parent wants to see their kids go through hardship or pain or difficulties. But I think as parents, when we discipline our kids, we have to look past the pain they're experiencing and we have to see what it's producing. You see, discipline is a painful process that produces a positive outcome. The whole point of the pain is to produce growth in our children. It's to help shape and mold their heart to become the men or the man or the woman they need to become. And so what I love about Hebrews chapter 12 is it gives us a big picture of what the outcome of discipline is in our home. In fact, let's read what it says. It says, "Moreover, we have all had human fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them for it. How much more should we submit to the Father of Spirit and live? They disciplined us for a little while as they thought best, but God disciplines us for our good, in order that we may share in his holiness. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. But later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it." And so Hebrews 12, it says, hey, I want you to see what discipline in your home is going to lead to. What's the outcome of it? And I believe there's three in this passage. The first outcome is that parents, you will get respect for parents from their children. It's amazing to me that discipline actually leads your children to respect you as a parent. In fact, I would say, if you want to lose the respect of your children, don't love them enough to discipline them. Right, and I know this as a child. I was one day a child, right? And honestly, it doesn't happen magically, right? Like in the moment when you're disciplining them, I promise you, they're not gonna be like, "Oh, thank you, I respect you for this." But as they grow older, and as they see the benefits of the discipline in their life, they will respect you, right? I look back at my parents, and can I tell you how thankful I am that they love me enough to put consequences in my life to shape and mold me as a man. And now I look back as a parent doing the same thing and saying, "Mom, Dad, thank you. I respect you for it." I mean, it's exactly what the passage says. It says we've all had human fathers who have disciplined us, and the result of that discipline was respect. The second thing is a changed heart, right? The outcome of discipline is a heart change. And we got to remember as parents, we are not trying to change our kids' behavior. Because if we just change their behavior, it's a temporary solution. But when you change the heart, it produces different behavior. In fact, look what it says. It produces a harvest of righteousness. You know, righteousness is not a behavior thing. It's a heart thing. And so it's respect for the parents. It's a changed heart. Third, the outcome of discipline is peace in the home. I mean, come on, what parent doesn't want peace in their home? That's kind of what we're all after. Like, I just some semblance of peace in the chaos. And not only does it provide peace for the parents, but for the kids, right? Look what it says. It says, "In peace for those who have been trained by discipline." So when you discipline your kids, it gives them peace and security. But also, look what Proverbs says. It says, "Discipline your children and they will give you peace." And I think sometimes in the chaos, the exhaustion of parenting, we forget what discipline produces in our home. And we can't lose sight of that. And so if discipline does all those things, I think another question we have to ask is, if it's that awesome, why don't we do it? Like, why is it so hard? And I'll give you three reasons. The first reason why we don't discipline is it's inconvenient. Right? Discipline is not like a moment thing. It's a journey. It's a process. It's a long conversation with our kids. And have you ever noticed that your kids usually act up in the worst of times? It's like when you sit down, it's the fourth quarter of the playoff game, and you're like, this is going to be good. The score's tied. Your team's going to score a touchdown, and all of a sudden your kid acts a fool. And you're like, nah, I can't do this right now. Like, no, I don't want to deal with this right now. Like, hey, where's your mother, right? But like, you can't not do it. Or you're in the grocery store and they go crazy in the middle of everybody. And you're just like, no, I can't deal with this right now. But you have to. It's just inconvenient in our lives. The second is many parents just excuse their kids' inappropriate behaviors. Right? Honestly, it's easier just to make up an excuse rather than actually discipline your children. And so here's what we say as parents. Ah, don't mind them. They didn't get a whole lot of sleep last night. Or, hey, you know what? Don't mind them. They didn't have breakfast or they didn't have lunch or dinner. And that's the reason. They've had a hard day at school. That's the reason why they're acting inappropriate. And so as parents, we just excuse their behavior, honestly, because we're too lazy to address it. And so we excuse it away. The third reason we don't discipline is it hurts us as parents. It's hard. It's stressful. And honestly, it hurts to discipline your kids, right? I wouldn't recommend telling your kids this, but I feel this, like this hurts me more than it hurts you, I promise. And so what we have to understand is we are not here for our kids' happiness, right? We are not here to make them happy. We, especially at the expense of their holiness. And so discipline plays a role in that. But I bet most of you would say, yeah, this all makes sense. Right? You probably knew discipline is an important part of raising the next generation, but the million-dollar question is not should I, it's how do I? How in the world do I do this in a God-honoring way? Like when reality hits, right? When my teenager cusses at my spouse, or when my kids hide pornography from me, or when my kid throws a tantrum in the store, or when my kids refuse to do what I tell them to do, or when they constantly lie to me. In those moments, what do I do and how do I discipline them? Because sometimes I just don't know. And I think we have to understand that there's a right way and a wrong way to discipline. Just because you're doing it doesn't mean it's always beneficial. In fact, the Bible speaks to unhealthy ways to discipline your children. Look at Ephesians 6 says, it says, fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and the instruction of the Lord. Colossians says something almost similar. It says, fathers, do not embitter your children or they will become discouraged. And so the Bible teaches that, man, we can do discipline wrong and actually do damage to our children. And so before I bring up Ashley and we talk about how we navigate this in our own life and family, I wanna talk about five ways that are really unhealthy forms of discipline. The first one is harshness. Vocally yelling, shaming, belittling, denouncing, criticizing your kids is unhelpful and actually inappropriate. Saying things like, you are worthless, you're the worst kid ever, you're a failure, you're making us look bad, will not help your kids. Physical or emotional or verbal abuse should never be accepted in any home. Second, rejecting your kids emotionally by withdrawing or shaming them. I get why we do this, right? Sometimes we're so frustrated that we're just like, I can't deal with you right now, and so I'm just gonna go somewhere else. But the truth is when we discipline our kids need us to be close to them, not withdraw from them. I think third, comparing them to other kids is unhealthy. Looking at them and saying, why can't you just be like your brother or your sister or the neighbor's kids or whoever, right? Because they're not them. And God has uniquely made them, gifted them, and we have to adjust as parents to the way God has created each child. One of my favorites, so guilty of this, empty threats. I love when I and parents say, if you do that one more time, I'm gonna. And it's almost like the kid's like, you ain't gonna do nothing. And they do it six more times, and then you say the same thing, like, if you do that one more time, and they're like, hey, why don't you just stop saying it, because everybody knows you ain't gonna do nothing, right? Empty threats are not helpful. Fifth, public discipline. Just because your child acts up in public doesn't mean you discipline them in public. And I just wanna be clear, I have been guilty of these things, right? These are things that are unhelpful. And so today, I want to invite my wife, Ashley, to the stage and just talk about ways that we have navigated this topic. And so at all our campuses, can you welcome Ashley out? Well, babe, it's week three. And so after this week, you are done. You have to feel good about that, at least.
Yeah, I love y'all, but I'm so glad it's my last week. Well, I want to just say thank you. Thanks for taking the time. I know the last 3 weeks in the Karshner household have been chaos every Sunday, trying to get everybody ready and here at 7 a.m. And so thanks for just taking the time and offering your wisdom. I do believe it's been helpful for our church family. And so, you know, might as well end with a bang, right? And so we are literally talking about maybe one of the hardest topics in parenting, discipline. And so let's just start by talking about the types of discipline that we use in our home.
In our house, we do several types of discipline. We do number one, timeout, where we sit, have them go to a private space to sit and recover. Number two is time in, where they have to sit on our lap to sit and recover. Sometimes they're crying or screaming at this point, but they have to sit with mommy or daddy. Number three is loss of privileges or taking things away that they really wanted to do. Number four would be like added chores or added tasks. And then number five would be punitive discipline, like spanking from usually ages 2 to 5.
Yeah, so there's a pretty wide variety of disciplines there. And I know the last one can be at some level controversial, or people think all different ways on spanking. And a couple things that when we do that, it's one of the like final straws for our kids. We never use our hands. We never want our kids to associate our hands with a physical harm or anything like that. So we usually use like a spatula from the kitchen. Who knew, right? Good for cooking and spanking, right? No, but it's also age appropriate, right? So this is more for younger children. And so no matter what type of discipline you're using, I think it's really important as parents that we need to understand all of these types of discipline are good, but they require conversation with your children, right? Discipline is hard because it's a journey. It's not an instant. And so we constantly have to be communicating and talking with our kids when they fall short or when they disobey. And so, babe, let's just kind of walk through a scenario. Malachi, Joel, Ruby Kate, Baylor acts up. They do something that needs a discipline. So let's walk through some of the strategies we use when that happens in our home.
Yeah, I think that the most important thing to remember is do not rush discipline, but take your time. Each incident takes a lot of time, and you need to be prepared to give that time. It's not something, God doesn't rush to discipline us, so we should not rush to discipline our kids. So at our house, we usually have them sit somewhere privately so that they can cool down and so that mommy can cool down. So in our house, the easiest place, closest place to like the main area is we just have them sit in like our powder room. So I'll tell them like, just you need to go and sit in the powder room and think about what's been happening. Sometimes if it's a really tricky one, I'll call Drew if he's not home and ask his thoughts on this or advice or what he thinks we should do. So I think I usually, you know, sometimes I pray. I give, you know, Lord, I'm going to need you to help me calm down. You know, the child hasn't personally offended me. I can be upset about what happened, but I'm not upset at the child. And so just kind of giving myself some time to have, like, breathe, clear head. And then that gives the child time to contemplate, too. I think it gives them some time to just kind of think about what's happened. Usually when I go in, the first thing I say, you know, I sit down on their level. I sit right down on the floor and just say, like, you know, buddy, what happened out there? Do you know what happened? And just kind of get them to say it in their own words.
Yeah, I think this is a really like key point to discipline is parents, it's okay to take a breath. The last thing you want to do is discipline out of anger or frustration. And so when you pause and you take a breath, it allows you to calm down, and it also allows your child to process, to think about what did I do that was wrong? Why was it wrong? It also gives you time to talk, right? Ashley and I are constantly in communication about, hey, did I see this clearly? Am I getting in the way? Are my emotions getting in the way? And so I think it's really important when it comes to discipline to take a breath. Sometimes we will wait a day because we don't know exactly what's right. That's perfectly okay. And so what happens is when you don't rush and you take your time, it allows you as a family, as a couple, as an individual to then determine the type of discipline that matches the offense.
Yeah, so discipline, I mean, when God disciplines, I mean, you know, it hurts, you know, there's a loss to some degree. So we just decide, you know, we want something that's going to prick their heart, that they're going to feel that loss. So, you know, with Joelle right now, she's really into like her social relationships, her friendships are everything for her. So, you know, if there's an offense from her, we might say, you know, you had a picnic on Saturday. You are not allowed to attend the picnic with your friends anymore on Saturday. You have lost that privilege. You might have a chance to earn that privilege back, but you have lost that privilege. And, you know, or we might even say that is coming up on Saturday. We'll see how it goes. But as of right now, you are not allowed to attend that picnic with your friends. If you have an introverted child, a child that requires time away from the family to rest and restore themselves, time out probably is like a reward. It's like they're going to be like, good, I didn't want to be near you anyway. So I think you have to kind of like read your child as far as like what would like prick their heart and helping them to remember. And there's a lot of communication with that too. You know, in the incidents with Joelle and a social event, that we would have a lot of conversations about that. And if she wasn't able to attend that event, maybe planning something with her and mom and dad together that day so where we could talk about it and that we could still be with her and just, you know you're not there right now and we love you. We're so sad for you that had to be the consequence of your actions and we want to pray with you and we love you.
Yeah, I think it's important when you're determining what type of discipline, you have to know who your children are. And what's amazing is all our kids are completely different. So it makes it hard. There's no perfect recipe to disciplining your kids. You can't be like step one, step two, step three. No, because for some kids, like step one is more of a reward than it is a discipline. And so you have to know your children. You have to know what's going to prick their heart. You got to know what's going to make them feel that loss. And so it's really important to know that. And as you figure out what discipline you decide, I think what's really important is to follow through and continue the conversation. This is key. It's hard, right? Because when you tell your kids, hey, you lost Nintendo for the weekend, on the weekend, even as parents, sometimes it feels like a punishment to you. You're like, oh, you can't do that anymore, but you gotta stick with your guns and you gotta follow through and then continue that conversation.
Yeah, so you have your consequence, you're communicating, and then probably the most important is comfort. I think a really good way, a good indicator that the consequence was received well is that your child should want to be near you after the consequence. And that is a reflection of us with God. When God disciplines me, I want to be closer to God. Or if I feel like I'm in a valley, I want to be close to the Lord. Or if I'm, you know, if something's happened as a consequence for actions that I have taken, I feel like I desire closeness to God. And so hopefully your child will want to be, you know, if things were carried out properly, your child should desire to be very close to you. So it's very important after a consequence is talked about and delivered, we ask we hold our children. Sometimes you might have a child that resists that. We have a couple of kiddos that immediately want to like snuggle or talk. Even if they resist it, just, okay, mommy doesn't have to hold you, but I want to sit with you, or I want to hold your hand. And I think that just being with them, talking with them, you don't have to force them to pray or anything, but just saying like, I'm going to sit near you because I love you and I'm sad with you. I'm so, you know, we know that God is sad when we disobey him and I am sad and I will sit with you. And so really leaning into that time where you're having closeness and connection.
Yeah. And I think when it comes to communication, when you are administering a discipline, you want to make sure your kids know what they're being disciplined for, right? You want to be clear with that. Hey, do you know why you're being disciplined today? And one thing that I think we don't often tie with discipline is Ashley and I, we don't want to just punish bad behavior. We want to reward good behavior. And so there's been so many times in our journey with our kids where a child has struggled with, let's say, lying. And over the course of punishment after punishment, they decide to tell the truth. We don't want to miss that moment. We want to celebrate that. And we want to say, hey, we see growth in you. We see you chose the right way and that God is growing you. And so we will often be like, hey, thanks for doing that. Let's go to Starbucks and let's let you pick whatever drink you want. And we want you to know we see God working in your heart. We don't want to just punish the bad behavior. We want to reward the good behavior in their lives. And I know like discipline and even just parenting, it's hard, but it's rewarding. And in the chaos and in the minutia and in the grind of parenting, I think it's really important for us when it comes to discipline to step back. And I think we can never lose sight of the end goal. We can never lose sight of the destination. We talked a lot about that last week, right? Where do you want your child to be? What's that destination? Because discipline plays such an important role in shaping and molding their hearts into the men or women that they're going to be at that final destination.
Yeah, we talked about this too. You can't change their heart. Only Jesus can change their heart. And so you pray, you know, you do the absolute best you can. You pray about it, giving it to the Lord over and over and over again. We talked about saying you're sorry. If you have to say you're sorry for being harsh during discipline, I am a voice raiser. So I have had to tell my kids, you know, mommy is sorry. Yes, what you did was wrong. And, you know, mommy is sad about it, but mommy should not have raised her voice. And that's not your fault that I raised my voice at you. Will you forgive me? So I think, you know, all of these things, you know, saying you're sorry, if you disciplined in a way that caused, you know, like I said, I raised my voice. And then I do love the point about, you know, we do have a kiddo who struggles with lying. And so talking more about when they chose the truth than talking about when they lied and celebrating that they told the truth. Because we can't change their hearts. Only God can change their hearts. We mess up along that journey and just pushing them back to a God that can help them change and celebrating when you see those changes happening in their life.
Yeah, I think at the end of the day, we got to remember the goal, right? The goal of parenting is not behavior modification. It's heart transformation. We're not here to treat behavior. We're here to push their little hearts to Jesus. Because at the end of the day, we can parent as best as we can. And honestly, guys, what you're learning today from us is a lot of our failures, right? We are not perfect parents. We fail our kids all the time. But you know what the great news in that? We have a God who is perfect and covers our flaws and our mistakes as parents. And so our goal as a parent is to push our kids. I want to push Baylor and Ruby Kate's and Malachi's and Joel's hearts to Jesus because he is their perfect heavenly father. And so, man, if you're here today and you're struggling or you're in the journey of parenting, just know that you're gonna make mistakes. You're gonna yell when you don't want to. You're gonna punish out of anger and frustration. Seek forgiveness and show your kids what the gospel is ultimately for, that I need Jesus as much as you do, that God, my Father, punishes me. He disciplines me when I need it. And so we're in this journey together for Christ to transform our hearts. So push your kids to Jesus. Let's pray together. Father, thank you that we don't have to be perfect. You were perfect for us. And that God, every day we need the gospel. As parents, we need the gospel. Our children need the gospel. So God, in the grind, in the chaos, in the struggle of parenting, Lord, I pray that you'd give us grace. For the mom and dad who feel frustrated right now, I pray that you'd encourage them, that you speak life into them. For maybe the parent who feels like they've already messed it up, remind them that they haven't. That you're bigger than any of our flaws and that you are what our children need. Help us to push our children to you. Help us in the journey. In Jesus' name, amen.